Hey, I think we're live. Hey, welcome to the Catalyst Sessions. I'm Bill DeYoung from the St. Pete Catalyst. We are trying to keep St. Pete's arts community connected virtually. And thanks for joining us again tonight. Alabama native Mark Sforzini spent 15 years as first bassoonist with the Florida Orchestra. In 2005, he conducted his first opera. And this fall, Mark's St. Petersburg Opera Company begins its 15th season. He is a composer and arranger, as well as a musician and a conductor. He's also the musical director and conductor for the Tampa Bay Symphony. Mark Sforzini is one of the Bay Area's leading proponents of and advocates for classical music and the ageless art of opera, and just how wonderful they can be to experience in person in a big room. And if you've ever experienced one of his Mornings with the Maestro events at the Museum of Fine Arts, you know that he has a very special way about talking about opera. His enthusiasm and his humor are infectious. Now, of course, infectious isn't really a popular word right now. So take my word for it. And one of these days, you'll be able to go and see one of those performances. Maestro Sforzini, thanks for joining us tonight. Are you there? Well, I could sit here and tap dance, but I think there he is. He came up for a minute. Maestro, hello, can you hear me? You are muted. You need to unmute yourself. Can you hear me?
Am I unmuted now?
You're unmuted now. Hey, good to see you. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on your wonderful show, Bill.
Well, we don't really call it a show. We just, it really is a matter of, since we don't all see each other out and about these days, it just feels like a good way to stay connected. You know, you had to cancel the remainder of your 14th season, Maestro. How devastating was that?
Well, first let me say, we are holding out hope that we are going to go forward with our pop spectacular on July 4th weekend. Mm-hmm. So we have not canceled that yet.
That was part of the 14th season, yeah.
Yeah. We're okay. Planning a big 4th of July pop style, patriotic, popular Broadway music with orchestra, chorus, and soloist. And it is my sincere hope that we are past this and people are allowed to go out and willing and excited to gather for something like that. So that could still happen.
Well, fingers crossed, you know, from your mouth to God's ears, as they say.
But that aside, we are struggling like every art organization. You know,
of course.
I had to let go of 3 staff people. Mm-hmm. We are applying.
I heard about that.
You heard. We are applying for every sort of assistance that we're eligible for through the Small Business Administration, the PPP, and the Economic Injury Disaster Fund, and the Fighting Chance Fund, and some others, you know, because it's tough. I mean, it's a really tough time, and we need people's support and help, but we are going to survive.
The final opera in the season was Donizetti, right? It's called La Fille du Regiment. Is that how you say it?
La Fille
My
du
French is not so good.
It's the Donizetti, in English, the daughter of the regiment. Mm-hmm. And what we've decided to do with that is to move that into our first opera slot in the new 15th season.
So
we have.
Did you have? I mean, did you have, you know, money invested in that? Obviously, you had time and energy invested in it. Did you have a cast all hired and ready to roll on that? You were getting pretty close.
Oh yeah, I mean, we had all the cast, the orchestra, the chorus, the designers, the directors. I mean, we already have a set design. They were about to start cutting the wood on the set right before this whole thing happened. So we are ready to go with Daughter of the Regiment. I have been in touch with the cast members, and they're all on board to do it in October. So we're planning to open the 15th season with Daughter of the Regiment, and it's a great celebratory show. So I think it's going to be perfect for that time of year. So that's going to go into that slot. We were going to do L'Italiani in Algeri by Rossini, but that will get bumped probably to the 16th season now.
The Girl from Algiers, right? Yeah. Isn't that? Yes. See, I remember a few things.
Yeah, but she had COVID, she had COVID-19, so we don't want her coming here.
No. Back to Algiers with you. Hey, listen, tell me about the Monday and Tuesday night virtual events that you're doing. Explain to the folks at home, because you're doing this kind of cool thing Monday and Tuesday nights, dipping into the archive, as it were. What do you want to tell people about that?
Yep, we have some archival DVDs. I'm getting a sign that my internet connection is unstable, so hopefully you can still see me.
I can see you. I can hear you. Yeah.
Okay, good. We're just dipping into our archive.
Yeah.
Dipping into our archival DVDs. Mm-hmm. We showed Don Giovanni Monday night and the second act Tuesday night, and I was live Facebook afterwards to talk to people about it and answer questions. It was a lot of fun. We had over 500 viewers on the first night. And we're going to do Rigoletto next week on Monday and Tuesday night, a similar format. We got plans to show our Madama Butterfly and our Suor Angelica and Johnny Skeeky, probably the Margiotta. Some of the operas we've done the last couple seasons.
Well, you have, I guess we should explain to people that every season you have just about everything professionally videotaped. With a two-camera rig, and the sound is really great, and you make these DVDs. So this is, I'm guessing, an opportunity to share those with people in lieu of you actually being there. Here's what we do. This is part of what you and I are doing right now. We're just saying we're still here.
Yes.
St. Pete Opera is still here, and that's why you're doing that, yeah?
Yes, and we're also releasing throughout each week a couple of shorter clips each week also. Mm-hmm. So on Wednesday and Thursday of each week, watch on social media, watch on Facebook and Instagram for some shorter clips from some of the operas or some clips from some of our singers that have sung here. Sometime today, it might be tonight, there's a clip from Sarah Nordham and Tyler Putnam who've sung with us, and they're singing a little bit of a duet, and that's going to be available. So we're doing shorter things, and we're doing the full opera productions also to provide a service to the community, to provide entertainment and let people see what we do. And people who already know what we do, they like to tune in and watch, even though they came to watch it live. A lot of people who tuned in the last two nights were some of our regulars who wanted to just see Don Giovanni again.
They also wanted to see you, and at the risk of what they call flogging a dead horse, it's also a matter of staying connected with SPO and saying, is that part of my family is still around and healthy. We're just in separate rooms right now. I think that's an important part of that too. I mentioned earlier these programs you do, Mornings with the Maestro, for example, where you bring part of the cast down and you go through some scenes from the opera, and they're just, well, they're not in street clothes exactly, but they're not in costume. They're just them. And they do some of the scenes and you explain the opera to people. And I've seen so many of those. And as I was saying, you have this great ability to, we're always talking about destigmatizing opera, right? And I think that's what that does. What do you find is the biggest hurdle day to day in trying to convince people that opera is viable and it's cool and get them interested? I mean, is it the old thing? Do people have preconceived ideas that it's, large women in Viking helmets singing Wagner really loud and it's your job to tell them, no, there's so much more to it.
Yes, people have confessed to me that very preconceived notion you just expressed. So
from Bugs Bunny, that's
one of the preconceived notions that we dispel. I think a lot of people are nervous about the operas often being in foreign languages. So when they come to the Maestro series and they see the super titles and they see the translations, they understand, this isn't so scary. And we do have all those translations at the full opera performances. And that's something that I think it keeps people away sometimes too.
Sure. One, what I found, I don't want to say surprising, but I was very happy to find that when I started going to St. Pete Opera performances, the singers were, for the most part, young, beautiful people, and they're great singers. And they tell stories. It's a story. It is another form, really, isn't it, of theater, in a manner of speaking. It's musical theater.
I really try to engage stage directors and opera performers who have excellent stage craft and act well on stage, and stage directors who have a vision for a lot of genuine interaction between the characters. I think there is a little bit of a, you know, there's an old style of opera, and I call it park and bark.
Park and bark. I remember. Yeah.
Where you
stand and sing.
Somebody comes out and just stands still for 6 minutes and sings and never moves and watches the orchestra conductor, you know, conducting from the pit or something. And that might be appropriate for a small percentage of the songs, but, you know, so much of the action in opera really does require engagement and action and moving around. And so it's been a quality that I've tried to promote in St. Pete Opera from the very beginning, that we really have a lot of engaging, interesting stage movement and genuine interaction and a high level of acting skills from our performers.
And a full orchestra. Perhaps a lot of people don't know that you are, you know, the Palladium, with the fabulous Pitless Palladium, you're back there conducting a full live orchestra. The music is all live. It really does get into your chest and, you know, move you, that live experience. I wanted to, if Mr. Hamilton is back there behind the curtain, can show us the first photograph. And I just wanted to go through a couple of photos with you really quick.
Sounds fun. Let's do it.
Okay, this is Don Giovanni. This is the one you showed this week. I mean, you can see how elaborate the set is, how beautiful the costumes are. Just imagine an orchestra and gorgeous voices. When was this?
This was October 2018, and you can see the beautiful detail. I mean, the people who built and painted the set, I mean, look at the way the set is painted. And that really helps when the lighting designer, you know, shoots the lights on the set for the types of effects it makes, and, you know, the care taken with how the foliage is, you know, wrapped on the wall back there. And of course the costumes are very nice too. You know, both of those actors in the front of that picture won Theater Tampa Bay awards, for that performance, which I'm very proud of. Christopher Nazarian there with the hat on, he was playing Leporello, and he won for best lead actor in a musical. And Kelly Curtin, she won for best supporting actress in a musical. So I was very proud of the cast and those awards.
That's great too, because it, you know, I don't want to say beat, but it, you know, in as opposed to other theater, to have opera come out and sort of reign supreme. Kelly Curtin is coming back.
Kelly Curtin was supposed to be Marie in The Daughter of the Regimen. Mm-hmm. And this is kind of an interesting story. When I started calling the cast to find out if they were available, she was the one lead who didn't think she was going to be available. Mm-hmm. And then I got an email from her last night, and she said, you know, it turns out this other project that I had committed to that was going to be in October, it's shifted and I am available. So I'm really hoping
you heard it here first. That's
we're going to have the fabulous Kelly Curtin back for the lead soprano part in Daughter of the Regimen, if all goes according to plan.
Can we have the next photograph? I hope. Hello, Joe. Hey, wait. Well, anyway, okay. The next photograph, which we were supposed to see, it might still come up, was from The Merry Widow, which was, I want to say, last fall. It was a beautiful photograph. It just was another beautiful set.
Well, maybe Joe will find that photograph and pop it back up here while we're talking. The Merry Widow was October 2018. That's an operetta.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, here we go. It looks like we're going to get something.
There it is. You know, one of my favorite things about looking at photos from this show is that's Matthew McGee back there.
On the upper platform, that is our beloved Matt McGee. He played Niegus. I thought he was fantastic.
Niegus is almost like a comic character, but I mean, he nailed it. He was so funny.
Yes.
Can we go to the next picture? There you are again. The next picture, when it comes up, is actually from Kiss Me, Kate, and it just happens to be a photo that I always liked. You know,
I think I know the one because I love that photo.
That was a fun cast. Are you hopefully going to do more Broadway musicals down the road? This was something that you took some time off from.
Well, the 15th season, we were taking a break from the Broadway show and we were doing the Pop Spectacular instead.
Yeah.
But I at some point, and I don't want to commit to when, but at some point we will do some Broadway musicals again. I was really proud of Kiss Me, Kate. And you can see those dancers. We had 4 dance auditions to cast that show. It was a big dance show, and we had 2 dance calls in New York City and 2 dance calls in St. Petersburg before we were finally satisfied with what we had for Kiss Me, Kate.
Fantastic. Can we go to the next picture?
I like this style of interviewing. You just pull up the pictures and we talk about what's on the picture.
Well, that's credit that's goes really to Joe fun. Hamilton.
That's really fun.
You know, the St. Pete Catalyst publisher, who's the man behind the curtain today. And we have another picture that it's tiny, but can you see that? Now, I've been waiting to embarrass you with this photograph, but I don't think it embarrasses you. Tell us what we're looking at here.
You are looking at a photo. This was on stage in the television studio, live television studio at the MGM Hotel in Las Vegas. 1 month before the famous fire in January 1980, when that original MGM hotel had a fire and then they had to rebuild the whole thing. And I am on the Dinah Shore show. I am in the finals of the 1979 World Hula Hoop Championship.
That's you in the front there. How old are you there?
I am 10 years old. Standing to my left was Sherry Lee from Hawaii. We were the top 2 finalists at the national competition. And the way the competition worked was the top 2 finalists from the nationals had a showdown on the Dinah Shore show.
Hula hoops.
Yes. I did a three-minute freestyle routine with multi hoops to the Earth, Wind, and Fire song "Boogie Wonderland."
Wow, there's got to be video of this somewhere. Do you have a video of this somewhere?
There's secret video of that. Sherry Lee hula hoop to Michael Jackson, "Don't Stop Till You Get Enough." Dinah Shore asked Sherry Lee what she thought of her competition mark, and she said, "He's so cute." And then Dinah Shore said to me, "Well, Mark, what do you think of Sherry?" And I said, "She's cute too." And then Bill Cosby, who was co-hosting, said, "I think he's a ladies' man."
Yeah, there you go.
So there
you go. Laid it all out in front of you. Bill Cosby wanted to talk to Sherry privately backstage, I suspect. Hey, we got one more picture, and there's a reason that it's in this group. Can we bring that last one up? This is Madame Butterfly, which was from 2019. Can you tell us who and what we're looking at here? The costumes were so cool in this one.
Well, the tall man is the character Bones from Madame Butterfly. And he was sort of like the religious head of the community. And he had basically come to disown Madame Butterfly Cho-Cho Song because she was going to marry B.F. Pinkerton and renounce her Eastern religion. So the man in the uniform, Sam Hall, playing B.F. Pinkerton.
And Sam was wonderful, and Zoya was wonderful. That was a wonderful show, too. The little surprise here, and it's not such a surprise, but that we have Sam Paul with us, and I think he's there somewhere, lurking around somewhere.
And you're gonna give me a few moments to say a few words about Tampa Bay Symphony at 1.2 before we end, right, Bill?
Yeah. Well, when Sam, yeah. Okay. What's going on with Tampa Bay Symphony? I'm sorry I didn't ask, but I guess I should know.
Well, you know, I wear that hat also. I'm the music director of the Tampa Bay Symphony.
And I did say that earlier. Tampa Bay
Symphony, and you know, you had asked about what St. Pete Opera was sort of doing on the internet and airwaves. So I wanted to just quickly say that Tampa Bay Symphony, we've just settled on our programming for next season. We're going to be announcing that soon. And we have put some exciting stuff out on Facebook and YouTube as well. We just released the performance from February of Aaron Copland's Lincoln Portrait that we did with Eugenie Bondurant narrating it.
I saw that. And I did see that.
I'm very, very proud of that. So, you know, you can go to YouTube. You can find the Tampa Bay Symphony YouTube channel. There's all kinds of stuff there. The most recent one is Eugenie narrating the Lincoln Portrait. And the other really exciting thing is that there is now a movie that's been released on Prime called For the Weekend. And we were approached by this independent company. They wanted to use our recording of Johann Strauss Jr.'s Voices of Spring Waltz in the movie. And they feature our recording prominently in the opening credit sequence. And this movie now, For the Weekend, available on Prime. And that is the Tampa Bay Symphony playing the Voices of Spring in the opening credit.
That's brilliant. So, that's exciting things there. Yeah. That's brilliant. I don't know how you do all the things you do. Even in isolation, you're becoming more famous every minute. So before we wrap up, and Sam is waiting, I can see him over there. Hey, Sam, can you hear us?
Oh, good evening. Right. How are you?
Hey, good. I wanted to remind everybody that Monday and Tuesday nights at 6, St. Petersburg Opera Company is broadcasting recordings of its earlier productions. And this coming week, Act 1 on Monday, Act 2 on Tuesday is Rigoletto from earlier this year. It's a brilliant production. And afterwards at 7:30, Maestro Sforzini comes on to answer your questions and, you know, shoot the breeze and whatever you want to talk about Rigoletto or, you know, The Price of Milk or whatever you want. Maestro Sam is here for a very specific reason. Would you care to give him an introduction? Tell us about this wonderful tenor singer here.
If I can go back a few years, Sam probably remembers the year. I was trying to hire a cover to cover the role of Polione in Norma. And, you know, this is a role that requires a special type of voice. And we had auditions that year, and I was not happy with any of the people I had heard. But I remembered hearing Sam at the New York auditions the year before. Looked him up on my files, did a little sleuthing on the internet, you know, checked him out, and called up Sam to see if he wanted to come cover this big role in our emerging artist program. And fortunately he did. And that was the beginning of a beautiful multi-year relationship over which Sam covered a number of very big roles and then started performing as the lead in the big roles. So I can't say enough about how much I love Sam Hall. Hi, Sam. And I want to say that even though we're doing Rigoletto this week, somewhere in the near future, we are going to broadcast that Madama Butterfly where Sam sang B.F. Pinkerton so beautifully.
Yeah. And I can't thank you both enough for being here. Sam, I'm hoping that you'll take us out tonight with a song.
I'm going to try here. We'll see if this if my contraption.
You got the harmonica and your banjo ready there?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I've got a track here that I'm going to try to play at the same time that I'm singing. But you know, first time for everything, and we're doing it live, as they say. So
yeah, well, it's the thrill of live television, as it were. Maestro, thank you for being here. And we'll look for you online and out in the real world as soon as humanly possible. And Sam, It's all yours.
All right. No es un duermo, es un duermo. Tu pure o principessa nella tua fredda stanza guardi le stelle che tremano d'amore e di speranza. Ma il mio mistero è chiuso in me, il nome mio nessuno saprà, no, no, soltanto yeah.